Chazor Hashem says the my parak gimel mishn vov until parak vov mishn aleph. If somebody gives raw produce to his mother-in-law to cook for him, then he needs to tithe that which he gives her, and also that which she gives back to him. He also needs to tithe. The reason being that she is suspected if she ruins the food, for example, if she burns it, then she is suspected of switching it for her own food out of embarrassment of selling her son-in-law ruined food. And then she'll eat your food. And therefore you have to make sure that it's tithed so that she is not eating untithed produce. And since she is an Am Haaretz, you have to also tithe that which you get back from her in case it's her food, in which case it's Demai, which therefore needs to be tithed. The Chachom argue, although it's not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, and the Chachom say you don't need to tithe it because we don't suspect her of switching it. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachomim that if you give her non-Shmittah produce during a Shmittah year, we still do not suspect her of switching it for Shmittah produce, because it's forbidden to eat Shmittah produce, and the punishment for eating Shmittah produce is death by the hands of Hashem. So we don't suspect her of switching the food and giving you Shmittah produce, and therefore even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not need to be concerned that she switched it in that situation. Perek Dalet, in general, just like one needs to tithe an Am Haaretz's produce, because we need to be concerned that he didn't tithe it, we also don't trust an Am Haaretz at all with regards to tithes. So if he claims that this produce is tithed, we don't believe him. However, Perek Dalet lists many exceptions to this rule, and particular scenarios where we would believe and trust the Am Haaretz. Number one is if you forget to tithe the Demai before Shabbos, and you want to eat the food on Shabbos. So because it's a mitzvah to have joy on Shabbos via eating food, as well as the fact that the Am Haaretz is less likely to lie on Shabbos because of the awe that he has of Shabbos, he realizes it's an extra holy day and that he shouldn't lie. So because of that, if you ask the Am Haaretz on Shabbos whether he tithed it, then you would be able to trust him if he says yes, and you'd be able to eat it just like that. But as soon as Shabbos has gone out, if you want to continue eating it, you would have to tithe it. The second scenario where we believe him is with regards to Trumas Maisa. Trumas Maisa is 1/100th of the produce. So if Trumas Maisa was separated from Demai, but then it fell back into the produce, so in that mixture there's 99 units. 99% of it is Chulin, regular produce, and 1% of it is Trumas Maisa. In order for the Trumas Maisa to be nullified, and for you to be able to eat that mixture, there has to be 100 times more Chulin than Trumas Maisa. But over here, there's only 99 times more, and therefore it's forbidden to eat. Rather, you should sell it to a kohen, and the kohen will pay for you a cheaper truma price, minus 1%, because he doesn't need to pay you for the trumas maisa. Be it as it may, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says that in such a situation, an Am Haaretz is believed if he claims that he did tithe that demai produce. And again, this is because of a combination of two reasons. Number one is because to sell a bunch of produce, which is mostly chulin, to a kohen for the price of truma, Truma is much cheaper, which means that he makes a big loss. So because he's making such a big loss, we're more lenient on him. And the second reason, combining that reason with the fact that the punishment for eating Trumas Maisa is very severe, so the Am Haaretz will be believed. He's unlikely to lie and cause you to do such a big avera. So because of those two reasons, you could believe the Am Haaretz if he claims that this particular demai was actually tithed, which means that the Trumas Maisa which he took wasn't even Trumas Maisa. So all of the produce is chulin, and he can just keep it and eat it for himself. Third scenario, Mishnah Base, if an Am Haaretz vows that if so-and-so, we'll call him Reuven, doesn't come to his feast on Shabbos, which he is making for his son's wedding, or the Shabbos after the wedding, then he won't be able to benefit from him in the future. And the Am Haaretz claims that the produce there is tithed, so even though ordinarily we don't believe the Am Haaretz over here, we do, in order to preserve the peace between them, because for Reuven not to come to this Am Haaretz's son's first Shabbos feast after his son's wedding will insult him a lot. So to preserve the peace, you can trust the Am Haaretz in such a situation. However, for the next Shabbos, if he makes another smaller feast, Reuven cannot go there because he won't be as insulted, because that's not such a major feast, so you would not be able to attend. Gimel, according to Eliezer, when it comes to separating tithes from Demai, one does not even need to designate Maisa Oni. The reason being that Ami Haaretz would usually designate Maisa Oni themselves, just to stop the produce being Tevel, and then they wouldn't give it to the poor people. But the Ami Haaretz was still concerned not to eat Tevel, so they would usually designate Maisa Oni, which means that the one who buys it from them doesn't need to designate it again. And of course, as we have seen already, all the more so do you not need to give the Maisa Oni to a poor person, because of the rule of Hamitzimi Chaveru Olav Haraya, that if somebody wants to take something from somebody else, in this case the poor person wants to take something from the farmer, he can only do so if he can prove that he's entitled to it. But Demai, by definition, it's a doubt as to whether it's been tithed, and therefore the poor person will not receive it. That's Rabbi Eliezer. However, the Chachom holds that although he doesn't need to give it to the poor people because of Hametz Mechaveir Olav Haraya, he still needs to designate it, because not all Ami Haaretz would designate it, only some of them. So you should designate it, but then you can eat it yourself. Mishnah Dalet, even if somebody has designated the tithes before Shabbos, so he's technically fixed the produce, he's technically done the halachic tithing, nevertheless he can't physically separate it on Shabbos, since then people will come to think that you're allowed to even designate it on Shabbos, which is forbidden because that's like fixing. As well as this, you're not allowed to invite a kohen or a poor person to come to your house in order to eat that part of the produce, which you designated as tithes before Shabbos, because people seeing the kohen and the poor person coming into this person's house will think that the person is tithing it itself on Shabbos. That he's actually doing the designation on Shabbos, which of course is forbidden. However, if the kohen or the oni, the poor person, generally come to that person's house anyway, then people won't automatically assume that they're coming to pick up the tithes. So in that case, they could come and eat the tithes, as long as they were designated before Shabbos. However, the Mishnah adds that the owner has to tell them that they're eating the tithes. That he's not just giving them a favor, because otherwise the owner is benefiting from tithes, because they'll think that he's doing a massive favor for them. And you're not allowed to benefit from tithes, and therefore he needs to tell them that they are eating tithes. Mishnah here, if somebody tells an Am Haaretz to buy produce from a non-Am Haaretz for him, and the Am Haaretz comes out with produce, he's not believed, because he could be lying. However, if you tell the Am Haaretz to buy from a particular person who is a non-Am Haaretz, then you can believe him, and you can eat that produce without tithing it, because the Am Haaretz would be afraid to lie, because it's very easy to find out whether he's lying. You can just ask this non-Am Haaretz later whether this guy bought from him, so it's easy to find out whether he would lie, and therefore the Am Haaretz is unlikely to lie, so he can be believed in this situation. Mishnah Vav, another leniency in situation where somebody could believe an Am Haaretz is a traveler, somebody who enters a city, doesn't know anybody there. He's allowed to trust an Am Haaretz if that Am Haaretz claims that somebody else is a Ne'eman, that somebody else does tithe. The reason being a rule which the Rambam writes, Ein Adam Chayte V'Loi Loi. One doesn't sin if he doesn't get any benefit from it. And therefore, meaning there's no reason for him to be lying here, because there's no benefit in saying that somebody else is believed. So therefore, we assume that he's telling the truth. And again, the reason why we're lenient specifically with the traveler is because he's away from home, and so that he doesn't get hungry, and he has enough food, he does not need to tithe the produce which he buys there. Now, if the person who he goes to buy produce, if he asks him, can you tell me who here sells good produce? And then that person says, oh, the person who sent you here, he sells good produce. So this sounds a bit suspicious. Perhaps they're working together on this one. Nevertheless, because he's a traveler and so that he does not go hungry, he can believe this merchant. And Mishnah Zayin told us that according to the Chachomim, if two merchants enter a city together, and one declares to everybody there that his own produce is very bad quality and it's not tithed, but my friend here, his produce is good quality and it is tithed. So here we do suspect them of working together. Maybe in the next city they'll do it the other way around, and therefore you cannot believe him. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can believe him, and you do not need to tithe that produce which you buy from the person who apparently tithes his produce. And the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is so that merchants continue to bring a good supply of food into the city, because if you discourage the merchants and you don't believe them, then they're going to reduce the food supply into the city, and the residents of the city might go hungry. So again, we've got this leniency to prevent people going hungry. You can trust an Am Haaretz that he did tithe the produce. At the beginning of Perek Hey, the Mishnah taught the actual procedure for separating the tithes from the my produce. And the example the Mishnah gave was somebody who buys bread from a baker, and we're talking about a baker where the baker is exempt from tithing it himself, because he sells it in bulk, so therefore the buyer has to tithe it. So he's now got bread, which is the my. So there's a five-step process of tithing this produce. Number one is that he marks off part of the produce, and the amount that he marks off is 1% plus 1/48th of the produce. Then that 1% which he marked off, plus another 9% from the rest of the produce, making up 10% altogether, he makes that Maaser Rishon. And then the 1% out of that 10%, the 1% which is marked off, he makes that Trumas Maaser for the Maaser Rishon. Step four is that he designates the 1/48th, which was also marked off, he designates that as Chala. So now the entire marked off part is made up of Trumas Maaser and Chala, which both go to the Kohen. So you give that marked off part to the Kohen. And finally, stage five is where you designate a specific 10% of the remaining produce. It's not 10% of the original amount of the produce. It's 10% of what's remaining. You designate a specific part of it as Maaser Sheni. And then you redeem it onto money or whatever you want to do. Mishnah Beis, on a similar note, if somebody wishes to separate one part of the produce and give it to the Kohen, and he wants this part to contain both Truma Gedolah and Trumas Maaser, usually you give them separately, but he wants to give one chunk which contains both of them. So how big is that chunk going to be? Well, Trumas Maaser is 1/100th of the produce, and Truma Gedolah is 2%. So 2% plus 1% is 3%. So the first stage is that he should mark off 3% of the produce. The second stage is that he should designate 1% out of the 3% as non-holy, like non-Truma, and he should say that the rest of that 3% should be Truma Gedolah. And this is a long way of saying that 2% should become Truma Gedolah, but the reason why he has to do it in this roundabout way is because Truma Gedolah cannot be separated as an exact measured amount. It has to be some sort of estimation. So instead of directly saying that 2% exactly should be Truma Gedola, you should rather just say the rest of that area should be Truma Gedola. Alright, stage 3 is that you designate the 1% remaining of the 3%, plus 9% of the rest of the produce, you should designate that as Maaser Rishon. So that's 10% altogether. Stage 4, like in the previous Mishnah, is to designate the 1% as Trumas Maaser for the rest of the Maaser Rishon. And again, you would give off the entire marked off part, the 3%, to a Kohen. And stage 5, once again, is to designate a specific 10% of the remaining produce as Maaser Sheni, and if you wish, to redeem it. For the most part of the rest of Perek Hey, the Mishnah discusses whether one is allowed to tithe Demai produce on behalf of other Demai produce. And the main concern here is that if two lots of Demai produce came from two different Ami Haaretz, in that case it could be that one of the Ami Haaretz did tithe the produce, but the other didn't. And you're only allowed to tithe one produce on behalf of another if both sets of produce require tithing. But here, one of the produces could have already been tithed. So the main rule for this perek is that if you know that the demai came from two different Ami Haaretz, then you're not allowed to tithe one on behalf of the other. But if you can assume that it came from the same person, then you can. So the first type of person, the first type of seller who is discussed, is a baker. And according to Rabbi Meir, if somebody buys demai loaves of bread from a baker on two different occasions, two different days, you are allowed to separate tithes from one on behalf of the other. Because the baker is assumed to buy his ingredients always from the same person. So it's assumed to all come from the same Am Haaretz, and that one Am Haaretz either tithes all of his produce or none of it. But not some of it, which means that you are allowed to tithe from one set of his demai produce onto the other. However, according to Yehuda, you can't tithe from one on behalf of the other if they were bought on different days. Because according to Yehuda, the baker could buy ingredients from one Am Haaretz on one day, and the next day he could buy from a different Am Haaretz, and maybe one of them did already tithe the produce and one didn't, in which case you can't tithe one on behalf of the other. And then we had a third opinion, Rabbi Shimon, and according to Rabbi Shimon, even if they're bought on the same day, if the loaves are different shapes, then that already means that you have to be worried that they came from different Am Haaretz, and therefore you cannot tithe one on behalf of the other. Now everybody agrees that the challah which needs to be separated, that's the amount which needs to be separated from the dough, that can be separated from one loaf on behalf of the other. The reason being that the obligation of challah only sets in when the produce is made into dough. And that was done by the baker. That was after it even left the Am Haaretz's property. The whole obligation set in when it was by the baker. So anything you buy from him, well, you know that he didn't tithe it, or you can find out, but either way, the challah has nothing to do with the previous Ami Haaretz, and therefore you would be able to separate challah from one loaf on behalf of another. Mishnah Dalet, when it comes to a palter, who is somebody who buys from bakers and then sells them on. So according to Meir, you cannot tithe from one on behalf of the other, but according to Yehuda, if you buy them on the same day, then you can tithe from one on behalf of the other. And again, the machlekes is whether you have to assume that the palter buys from multiple bakers, or that he buys from one baker. Number 3, if you buy from a manpol, different types of bread, or on different occasions, even the same type of bread on different occasions, a manpol is somebody who buys from lots of palterim. So he definitely buys from lots of people, and therefore you cannot tithe from one on behalf of the other. Mishnah Hey, if you buy from a poor person, well, a poor person's property definitely comes from lots of people. He's supported by tzedakah. As well as this, if a poor person himself chooses to tithe demai, although he doesn't have to, if he chooses to, then he has to do it in the same way as other people. And since he gets his produce from lots of different people, he will not be able to tithe from one on behalf of the other. Again, because maybe one of the Ami Haaretz did tithe it and one didn't. Now the Mishnah continued and told us that if the produce of the poor person is made up of small dates or small dried figs, which are totally mixed together and sticking together, and as well as that, each portion that the poor person received was roughly the same amount. So in that situation, you can tithe the entire mixture in one go, because since each Am Haaretz gave him roughly the same amount, so whatever the poor person separates from there, or whatever the person who gets it from the poor person separates from that mixture, that is viewed as containing equal amounts of each portion of the mixture. Because the mixture contains equal amounts, whatever you take out of there is assumed to be made up of equal amounts of each of the produce. And that means that he's separated the necessary amounts from every portion. So let's say two people gave the poor person dried figs, and roughly the same amount. So when you separate 10% of that, that 10% is viewed as half from one of the dried figs lot, and half from the other portion of dried figs. Which means that you've separated 10% from every portion for that. And then from that situation, you could just separate one lot of maaseres. Mishnah Vav, if somebody buys two lots of produce from a wholesaler on two different days, two different occasions, again, you cannot separate tithes from one on behalf of the other because we assume that the wholesaler gets it from multiple farmers. However, if the wholesaler claims that he bought all of the produce from one farmer or from one person, then he is believed. And this is very important to realize that although an Am Haaretz is not believed with regards to tithes, if it's a factual statement, then he is believed. So if he claims that he bought it from one person, he is believed because that's just a factual statement. Mishnah Zayin, if somebody buys two lots of produce on two different occasions from a Balabais, from somebody who sells his own produce which he grew, then we assume it came from him. So he either tithes all of his produce or none of it. And therefore you can tithe from one lot of that produce on behalf of other, because it all came from the same person. However, if the balabais starts selling his produce in the marketplace, then it's possible that he also sells other people's produce as well as his own. And therefore you need to ask him first whether the produce you're buying from him came from his own produce or from other people's produce. And again, you could believe him here because it's a factual statement. Mishnah Ches, although it's forbidden to sell or to buy tevel, except at a time of dire need, if somebody does buy tevel from two different people, then he can separate tithes from one on behalf of the other. Why? And this is very important to realize. When it comes to tevel, that definitely hasn't been tithed. So therefore, you can definitely separate from one on behalf of the other. It's only with regards to demai. They are not sure, so you have to be worried that one is tithed and one isn't, and that's when it's a problem. But by tevel, it's not a problem, and therefore you could tithe from one on behalf of the other. Mishnah Tes, a non-Jew's produce is considered tevel, because of the rule that in kinyan l'nochri be'eretz Yisrael laf kiyam midei maisa. That if a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael, he's not considered the owner with regards to removing the obligation of maisras. Rather, we view him as just being in the field, but not the actual owner, which means that the produce which grows there is still obligated in maisras, but since a non-Jew certainly doesn't tithe it, it's considered tevel, so you could view it as regular tevel, and therefore tithe that on behalf of other tevel. And then with regards to kusim, who are part of the nation who converted to become Jewish, but whose conversion was sort of uncertain, so if somebody buys from two kusim, you can tithe from one on behalf of the other, according to the Chachomim, because again, that's considered tevel, because the kusim never tithed that which they sold. They did tithe that which they ate themselves, but that which they sold, they did not tithe, and therefore you can view their produce as tevel, so you can tithe it from one on behalf of another. However, according to Eliezer, you can't, because maybe one of the kusim originally intended to eat it for himself, and therefore he did tithe it, and then he changed his mind to sell it, but that means that one of the produce which you're buying was already tithed, and the other wasn't, which means that you cannot tithe from one on behalf of the other. Mishnah Yud, an otzitz nokuv is a plant pot with a hole at the bottom of it, and anything which grows in an otzitz nokuv is considered to be growing in the ground, and therefore you can tithe produce which grows in an otzitz nokuv on behalf of produce which grew in the ground, and vice versa. They're both obligated just as much as each other in maisras. Now, a plant pot without a hole in it, so that which grows in there is only obligated mejabonon in maisras. So if somebody tithes produce which grew in that plant pot on behalf of produce which grew in an otzitz nokuv, so what's he doing? He's tithing produce which is obligated mejabonon on behalf of midoraisa obligated produce. So firstly, we need to know that as soon as he's declared anything truma, that's the example we're discussing, where he separates the tithe of truma, as soon as he's declared something truma, it's going to remain truma, and he has to give that to the kohen. So the part of the plant pot without a hole in, which was separated, that remains truma, and that's so that people don't come to treat the declarations of truma lightly. They realize that as soon as you pronounce it truma, it remains truma. However, since it was only obligated to jabonon, that can't be effective to tithe something which is obligated with araisa, and therefore he does need to tithe the otzitz nokuv again. And we see in Mishnah Yud Aleph that the same applies if somebody ties demai on behalf of demai or tevel. So the demai is obligated in jabonon, and the tevel is obligated in deraisa. So again, the truma which you separated would still remain truma, but the tevel would need tithing again, because that's obligated in deraisa, and therefore the tithes cannot be affected by something which is only obligated in jabonon. On the other hand, back to Mishnah Yud now, if somebody tithes produce which was grown in an otzitz nokuv, so it's obligated midaraisa on behalf of that which grew in a plant pot without a hole, so it's only obligated midjabonon, so of course the truma remains truma. However, that truma, before you give it to the kohen, you actually need to tithe it again, the reason being that you made this truma on behalf of other produce which was only obligated midjabonon, which means that midaraisa, the other produce, was exempt, which means that midaraisa, this truma which you separated didn't actually work, which means that it's still tevel. If it's still tevel, then you can't give it to the kohen. You have to tithe it first, and only then give it to the kohen. And Mishnah Yud Aleph says that the same would apply if somebody tithes tevel on behalf of demai, again, where you're tithing something with deraisa on behalf of something with jabonon. So on a midaraisa level, that thing which you tithed remains tevel. So before giving it to a kohen, you need to tithe it again, so that you are not giving tevel to a kohen. The focus of Perek Vov was if there are two people involved in produce at different stages, who is the one who is obligated to tithe the demai produce? And in Mishnah Yud Aleph, we saw that an oris, who is somebody who rents and works a field, and he gives a percentage of the annual crop to the owner. The halach is that whatever crop he gives to the owner, he does not need to tithe. Rather, the owner will have to tithe it himself. And the reason for this is in order to encourage people to work and take care of land in Eretz Yisrael, to be lenient on the person who is working the land. Now, the same applies to a choicher, who is somebody who rents and works the field, but instead of giving a percentage to the owner, he gives a fixed amount of crop to the owner. So he also doesn't need to tithe the produce before giving it to the owner. However, there's one exception, and that is truma. At the end of the harvest, he needs to separate truma. However, he doesn't make a loss out of that. It comes out of the owner's produce. It's just that truma needs to be separated earlier on in the process because of its importance and severity. So since he hasn't yet given it to the owner at that stage, he should separate it on behalf of even the owner's produce. But again, that would come at the expense of the owner, not himself. And the reason why this only applies to a choicher and not an oris is because a choicher totally clears the threshing floor of all of the produce, even the owner's produce. So he totally takes even the owner's produce till the end of the harvesting process. Whereas an oris leaves the owner's produce there in the threshing floor so that when the obligation of truma comes in, it's already the owner's responsibility to separate the truma, and that's only with regards to an oris, not a choicher.